Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number 9, live my lives, feline, with a death wish.
All right, welcome back to Hour 2. Sean brought up a point that's going on TV right now. Pat McAfee, noted Colts supporter, at least when Zaire Franklin and EJ Speed are yelling at him about it, was talking about the Colts, and they are signing Daniel Jones. Apparently, they were shopping Anthony Richardson. They're never going to admit to that because no trade got done, so you're never going to, yeah, okay. Yeah, we're trying to trade our recent top five pick. And he described Daniel Jones as having massive upside.
Yes. Dan Orlovsky was talking about the Daniel Jones news, and he said, that's a lot of money for a chance to start. Anthony Richardson asked for a trade, question mark. And so, yeah. And Pat McAfee was like, the Colts brought in a guy with massive upside.
No. He wasn't a massive upside guy when he was drafted. He was a guy who people thought, huh, they really think that highly of the guy from Duke? He didn't look like a massive upside guy when he was playing for David Cutcliffe. And it's kind of played out the way everyone expected, except for the Giants getting suckered into giving him a giant deal. And they'll always be remembered for deciding Daniel Jones and his money was something they were willing to pay and not Saquon Barkley. And of course, now that they've paid Darius Slayton a very similar deal to what Saquon Barkley's initial deal with the Eagles is, people are like, you chose this instead of this. And the Eagles have rewarded Saquon with a big time extension. Let's get to Eric here. Eric's got a question for me. It's probably multiple questions. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Joe, I go all the way over there.
That's the thing I'm going to endorse.
Have you seen the new City Connect jerseys for the Astros? It looks like the long division symbol. Also, Mickey 17 is a garbage movie, a Euro trash. I hang up and listen.
I have not seen Mickey 17, but it did not get reviewed well. It is a Robert Pattinson movie where we talked about it on Friday with Michael, where he plays multiple versions of himself. They're disposable. One dies. Another one just, another clone pops up. Apparently not good, according to people. As far as, what else? I already forgot. What else was what was the other thing?
That was an Astros long division.
Oh, thing. The City Connect jerseys. I have not seen enough. Are those out officially? I've seen what people have called fake City Connect Astro jerseys, but I've not seen the real ones right now. See, another account says these are the leaked ones. I don't know that they've released anything officially. I know they have teased some stuff on social media as far as what those jerseys are going to look like. I'm not a jersey buyer. They're not going to matter to me one way or the other. I know people care and they will buy them.
The leaks for City Connect jerseys is something I just cannot care about.
Nope.
Like, they're going to announce them probably next week or either this week or next week, right before the season starts. And then you'll see them every Monday home game for 3 years. Like I'll see plenty of these jerseys. I don't need to maybe see it a week early. So when they come, I'm not even going to like spend the time to Google or to look up on Twitter the City Connect leak. I don't care.
Yeah, the Texans one was they haven't changed their uniforms outside of putting a logo above the nameplate since their inception. Yes. I get why there was some excitement. And, of course, the regular ones are fine. I mean,
yeah, it's also the main uniforms that they wear.
So that,
every game they would be wearing something different than the first 20-something years of the franchise. This is like, again, once a week at home, they're going to wear these.
And hopefully for the people who care about that, you like them. And certainly that's the case for the Astros, too. They want you to buy them. You can buy the jersey and then the Astros hat as well.
People are not going to like these. I'm just going to go out on
the jerseys or the hats?
The City Connects.
Okay.
They're just like...
They bought the other ones, and I didn't think those were great.
I think originally, like, it was pretty mixed.
Because they saw them every Monday, people just bought them?
Yeah, also, the Twitter fan base and sports talk radio fan base, their opinions is like way different, or that they're just like different people than the people that like go to the game and just want to get in jersey.
They walk into the team store and say, oh, that's new. I already got my home Altuve, my road Altuve. Let me get this one. Yeah.
It's just like people are just going to buy jerseys.
Yeah. You're at this, you want that. Like when I go to see a band, I don't always buy a band sweatshirt or a t-shirt, but there's a chance I will.
Yeah.
Because I'm at the concert, and if I love that band, I'll probably buy it. And
you're probably even more discerning with, like, well, I don't like how this jersey looks. Or I don't like how this shirt looks.
Yes.
I don't like this design on this shirt. Where, like, I feel like most people are just like, Astros.
It has Astros on it, I'm going to buy it.
Or they get it as gifts. That's,
you know, and if it's the one or it's once or twice they go to see a ball game every year, it's the whole thing. Let me get a jersey. It's part of the whole experience. So I'm sure they'll do just fine selling them unless they're atrocious.
Yeah, I feel like we just hold jerseys to like this high standard. It's like, guys, it's not that important.
They're really not, unless...
Just don't be a disaster.
Don't be embarrassing. That's all we're really
looking for. These are freaking alternates. Like, who cares?
And, of course, the narrative will begin whether if they win in them, good luck. And if they lose in them, trash them. That'll be part of it, too. The cycle always goes that way.
The other ones were bad luck, right?
I know their first win of the year was a Monday in those because Renel Blanco came on the scene and was great.
Yeah.
Was that a no-hitter?
He did throw no-hitter.
In his first start?
I don't know last if it was year? His first start.
Well, he was good from the jump.
Yeah.
And I think his first start was in those City Connect jerseys.
Okay. Then he might have thrown it.
Yeah. So it got off to a good start last year. We'll see what happens this year. People love him. And buy them. And other people who are on Twitter would never buy them. Will say they suck. That's how it goes. But get yourself an Astros hat. The new ones.
Yeah.
They really want you to get
an Astros hat.
Get you one of those new era overlap hats. Just because of the novelty of them. Okay, we'll come back with actual Astros news. We didn't get to this yesterday, but there is an update on Christian Walker, and it's a good one. I will read stuff from Joe Espada because the Cam Smith thing is moving. And right field is a real possibility. In fact, he's going to play right field in a game sometime this week. And that will get going today. I think he's going to play on one of the backfields. He'll play a couple innings today. I don't know what the backfields even means in baseball. But in a game that will keep stats, he'll do that later this week. We'll get a camp update from the Astros when we come back.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
We didn't do one yesterday because of all the Texans news and all the NFL news in general. And we'll get back to some of that before we go. But let's get another camp update from the Astros. And Sean, what's the music for today?
Every day.
Old reliable.
Yeah. And I only have to commercial really to think about it. I'm not going home thinking about, oh, what's the camp update song for today?
I don't know. I'm going to have to find a This Week in Baseball song to see if it's long enough. Just to give people a classic. Well, as I mentioned, Cam Smith will be playing on the backfield today. He'll get in some time in right field. And he will play in a game, according to Joe Espada, sooner rather than later. So maybe you can see, and the chance of you actually seeing it live are low. But maybe you'll see highlights of Cam Smith in right field this week as he continues to surge. 9 for 17 this spring so far with 2 home runs and 5 walks. He's been, along with Jeremy Peña, the Astros' best hitters in spring. Got a real shot. And if they're going to open up right field as a place he can play, that's another avenue beyond the Christian Walker injury. There's another way that Cam Smith may make the opening day roster. If he can prove himself to be competent in right field to continue to hit, we know it's not exactly a spot the outfield is where the Astros have a lot of pop. So Cam Smith, look at that. Let's see how he does. Also, Christian Walker's been running the last couple of days. He'll do infield drills. He's not swinging a bat yet, but the MRI came back with good news. No long-term damage. There was a fear there because of the month he missed last year. Joe Espada, at least through the tweets from Brian McTaggart, didn't seem all that thrilled. Seemed like he was despondent over it, but things are okay. Christian Walker won't be out for too long. The ramp up for him swinging a bat again will get going, but he's out there doing baseball-like activities by doing infield drills. Lance McCullers is going to throw off. He's already thrown off a mound. He'll do BP tomorrow before he gets in the game. So we're getting ever closer to Lance McCullers making it back. And the question was asked this morning, and for the first time, Lance McCullers was the answer. Who's going to play first, Lance McCullers or this guy? Finally, we answered with Lance McCullers. Of course, it was Tank Dell. So it wasn't exactly a hard choice. We did mention a guy who won't play till 2026, so Lance McCullers felt like a safe choice. And we're getting there. Lance McCullers. Very close.
If Tank Dell beats him, that means Lance McCullers never plays for the Astros
again. His career's over. If Tank Dell will beat him. So there it is. I am beyond Altuve playing left. If we got Altuve and left and Cam Smith and right, two guys who've never done it before, bring it on, Astros. Let's see how that goes. My pushback to anyone who's hesitant about it, do you want Chaz and Jake out there?
Yeah, at a certain point, it just becomes like, also, like, this lineup should be awesome if you're just prioritizing
hitting,
and you're just like, yeah, we'll put guys wherever they fit in. Where it's like, okay.
Yeah, I mean,
now you're talking about, like, second base and center field are your two weakest.
And Dubon is
with the bat
pretty good.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah.
And then next it's shortstop with
Peña, at least in the spring, it's been really good this spring. Him and Cam Smith going for best Astros hitter. So maybe we're finding answers in unconventional ways to add more pop to this lineup. Just need Christian Walker to come back, and I won't say you're set because we'll see how the Altuve and the potential Cam Smith and the outfield thing works, but you know what? In a year where I'm not quite sure how good they'll be, mostly that's banking on how good their starting pitching can be, give me something to watch.
Thank you. That's where I've been with this Altuve thing from the start. It's just like, at least this is interesting. Like, the worst thing you can do is bore me, and this will definitely not bore me. I will be in for all the, I guess they're only going to play like a handful of March games, but all the April baseball games that are normally like I just watch just so I know what we'll talk about tomorrow, but my biggest takeaway is none of this matters. There's 150 more of these.
Oh, you're one of those guys.
I mean, what are we supposed to do? Like, last year they made the playoffs. They started 7-20. Like the world was falling every day in April last year, and then they won the AL last night. Sorry,
they were awful early.
And they just win the division.
And they wound up winning the division anyway.
And not really that hard.
Yeah, they weren't really pressed. The question was, and if we remember, it was John Granato taking a victory lap because he said they'd be in first place by, I think, the end of June?
By the end of July. He said in June, at the start of June, that they'd be in first place by the end of July.
And they were, what, 6-7 games back, something like that? At one point, yeah. they're 10 games back.
Yeah, they're like 9.5 back. And they're leading at like the All-Star break.
Yeah.
And or maybe like one game back at the All-Star
break. Unfortunately, he was right as far as how the morning show goes. But yes, for the Astros and the fans of the team, that was great that that prediction came true. Just didn't play out in the playoffs. So I would hope a better start occurs. But you know what? Even if they do get off to a bad start, I've seen the AL West before. They'll likely win the division again. It might be tighter, but they'll likely win it again. So there's your camp update. Cam Smith playing right is the big news. Dana Brown said earlier that he wouldn't be opposed to it, and now we're seeing that put into practice. Cam Smith backfields today, playing right, and then eventually he'll get into an actual spring training game playing right. Hey, the odds are going up that he makes the roster if they're finding ways to accommodate him. Because of how well he's hitting.
To me, the only chance he had of making the roster is to play the outfield. And he hadn't played the outfield yet. So with all the talk, I was just like, well, if he's going to play right field, like he should play right field in spring training. And so now he's doing that. Now it's a real, really real possibility. It's still a possibility,
though. Yes, I'm not sure it's definite no matter how well he's hitting.
It's still like 18 at-bats that we're talking about. So
it's not a lot. It's great that he's been great, but it's not exactly a large enough sample size, for particularly in the sport of baseball, where everything's like, as you mentioned, there's 154 more of these to go.
Yeah.
It's not exactly how baseball operates, where they just go, hey, let's make a spur-of-the-moment decision and bring this guy up, who we didn't really have plans on starting with the Major League Club. Cam Smith, Houston or Corpus Christi? You decide. You have the rest of the spring to make it impossible for the Astros to send you down to Corpus. I'm sure it's a nice place to spend a week.
I know. I'm sure he was like, you know what? Especially like late spring, early summer.
I said, yeah, a week. But no one who goes down to Corpus for spring break is like, let's spend 2 months here.
Well, you have to think half of those he's going to be on the road. So it's really only 1 month.
Still.
It's really long.
3 weeks too long.
These seagulls are really mean.
At least they want you there. The people in Florida don't want you there at all for spring. Corpus welcomes you.
I don't know that. I don't know that for sure. Yeah, I don't know if they welcome
I think it's actually a thing now in every spring break location where they give like a little PSA, hey, don't screw up our town. It's not unique to Florida, but those have popped up. Over
I feel
the news.
Like they go the hardest in the paint about
yeah,
it.
They're
too,
the, yeah.
Normally, it's just like, hey, please
be respectful.
Florida's like, we don't want you.
Yeah. In fact, it doesn't do anything for us for you to be here, and we're out to get you if you screw up. I don't think Corpus is going to take that stance. But I think, like I saw somewhere, I don't think it was Corpus specifically, but like a Texas official was like, hey, guys, we're going to be aware of things. Just relax. Come down. Have a good time. But we're on the lookout. But we welcome you. Just be normal is pretty much what they're asking for. So apparently, the Spring Breakers, wild. Don't wreck a town is what all they're asking for. Okay, we got a couple more segments to go before we're out here. We'll get back to some Rockets news because, according to one SI reporter, the Rockets have a clear player they're after and a clear path as far as what they want to do in this offseason. And this is before we see what they are in the playoffs. They want one person specifically with who that player is when we come back.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
We'll get to the Chris Mannix sound on who the Rockets will be targeting in the offseason. We were talking about during the break that Texans defense. And what was the Instagram post or tweet by Kalen Bullock after the news about Chauncey Gardner-Johnson being a Texan, bro?
He posted the NFL Network, you know, breaking news. They traded for Gardner-Johnson. And he captioned it, yeah, it's about to get like that.
And we just assume that means great defense. But if you look at the personality.
No, I didn't
what he means. Great what he means.
Now, I don't know think, if that's what he means.
Okay. We look at the acquisitions the Texans have made defensively over the last couple of years since D'Amico Ryans has taken over. You got several guys who don't mind committing personal foul penalties and catching fines. Hell, Aziz Ashaer will punch a guy on the sideline. He punched Texas great Roschon Johnson. How dare he? But one of their recent acquisitions, Darrell Taylor, has a $16,000 fine for hitting Brock Purdy on his resume. He's got two unnecessary roughness penalties that totaled over $23,000 in a game as well. So he's about that life too. Obviously, Al-Shayer is out there. Jamie Ward ain't above headhunting.
Jalen Petrie
ain't above it. We've got, you mentioned Henry Toto, although people were like, that's not a personal foul on Patrick Mahomes, but he got at least penalized for it. I don't know if he got fined for it. We got a lot of guys like that. Will Anderson ain't above hitting a guy later or so.
Autry.
Or swiping Edwards. And hitting a guy in the head, a quarterback specifically. We got plenty of guys. Mario Edwards. Yeah.
It's about to get like that.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson fits the profile of what the Texans want on defense. A little undisciplined, a little reckless, but an intimidator. Yeah. A guy who's going to talk, hit, and let you know about it after he hits you fits perfectly into the attitude of the D'Amico Ryans defense. They're like a 90s Florida college football team on defense. Like, hey, we'll pick up a personal foul. We'll just sack you anyway and knock you out of field goal range. They're like the Florida States, the Floridas, the Miamis of the world. That's old school stuff. Hell, Nebraska, when they're good. They've got that vibe. I'm going back a little bit. I remember those defenses as a kid. They're about it.
Yeah, they're just a mean defense.
Yeah.
They're just full of mean guys.
And, well, mean football players.
They're just mean. They're out there just bullying people and then letting you know.
They will talk and they will try to bully you. The question is, will you allow them to? Wow, that's a bad Tunsil edit on the McAfee show. Oof.
Oh.
They've got him in his new Commander jersey. That's an awful edit.
It's
worse than anything someone on Twitter would do.
Oh, so they didn't just pull it from Twitter?
I don't know what happened, but I've seen better jersey swaps.
Someone got paid by Disney to make this?
Or McAfee out of his own pocket. I don't know. No. But that's terrible.
I can't see
it. You can't see it. It's bad. The Commander logo or the Commander script all in the wrong spot. It's awful. I don't know why they did it. They could have just had him in a Texans jersey. You don't need to do the edit every time. We know he's a Commander now, but there it is. Okay. Let's get to a guy that a Houston team wants to bring in, not send out, according to Chris Mannix. Chris Mannix works for SI. He is a longtime basketball, I don't know if insider is the right word, but reporter. He's talked about the game for a long time, has a podcast just like everyone does. Here's Chris Mannix on who the Rockets will be targeting this offseason.
This Devin Booker messaging about how he's 100% going to be there, I'm just not buying it. Like, what deal can you make involving Kevin Durant that brings back pieces that puts you in play for the next couple of years? The reality of their situation is that they desperately need to do a deal with the Houston Rockets. They have to, because the Houston Rockets control a chunk of their draft capital over the next few years. And the Houston Rockets have made it abundantly clear. I was just down there, spent a few days down there talking to people. Like, they've made it abundantly clear. Like, they're not doing a Kevin Durant deal. They're not doing a deal just for the sake of doing it. They want Devin Booker. Like, that's the guy they want. That's the 20-something they see fitting into their core of a bunch of 20-somethings. So,
Chris Mannix, his podcast with Sports Illustrated. So, a definite opinion. Not even an opinion if you go by what he's saying. He said he talked to guys here in Houston. I don't know if that's Kelly Eco. Is it Eco?
Eco.
I don't know if it's Kelly Eco that he talked to of The Athletic or is people with the Rockets.
Yeah.
But,
bellhop at the hotel that he was staying at.
Yeah.
He just said I talked to people in Houston.
We're supposed to assume
they're connected.
That it's guys who would know. But I don't know that. Yeah. Could have been his Uber guy. Who knows? Yeah, I heard they want Devin Booker.
If it was an Uber guy, it would be like, I heard they want, and then someone who's incredibly wide. I heard they want Bull Bull. That's who the Uber driver
is. He can't get that off on his podcast, though. He can't sell the Bull Bull stuff on his podcast. So, Devin Booker is the Rockets' 20-something of choice. Good, because all the other names we heard were in their 30s. So it's the best part about it is he is in his 20s. So you have to ask yourself, is Phoenix such a bad situation that Booker, Durant, Beal, Tyus Jones, and others couldn't help that spot? Or what the hell is going on that a great player like Devin Booker can't make Phoenix better? I'm going to lean into just it's just a bad fit all around. It's a bad spot. But as let's just say, as poorly constructed as that team is, those two, we can exclude Beal from the equation, those two should be better. That team should be better no matter what. So I'm not going to hold Devin Booker to that because I've seen him be the best player on a team who made the finals and, hell, was up 2 on the finals. But I also have this and last year as well.
Yeah.
And Luka ending his year in embarrassing fashion. So is Devin Booker the right choice? I don't know what he's made of. I'm not going to get into the Skip Bayless thing or the Stephen A thing where they start to question a guy about what's inside of him. I don't know Devin Booker. I would be a little hesitant to go all in on him right now. I do think he's better than any player the Rockets currently have. Maybe the projection might be better than Devin Booker when they're 28 or so. But the likely trade would involve guys who aren't as good and draft picks. So if you can throw out Jalen Green as a likely option, maybe you're trading away a player you really don't want to trade, whether it be Şengün, and you have to go find yourself another big someplace else. I remove Amen from the equation because I think everyone's saying, no, never. We would never do it. No matter how great the player is on the other side, we never trade Amen Thompson. While I think he is a player that Rockets hold in high esteem, I don't think he's completely off the table. Maybe for Devin Booker?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think for anyone available.
But for someone else?
Yeah, it's like he would get traded for other guys that are untouchable.
Yes.
Like it would be like for...
Like if Anthony Edwards said, get me the F out of Minnesota, they trade Amen Thompson for Anthony
Edwards. And the Minnesota was like, the only way this gets done is Amen Thompson.
But maybe Devin Booker doesn't meet that standard?
I don't think he does. Like you said, like he is a really good player. He's probably like a, I don't know, top 15, top 10-ish.
When he's at his best,
type player. But he's not a top 5 type player. He's not a top 10 type player. Like, he's not, or if he is top 10, he is 8 through 10. He's 8, 9, 10 of that list. He's not top 5. He's not top 7.
Man, there's something to be said beyond numbers, how you're impacting the entirety of your team.
Yeah.
And for the last couple of years, no matter how good he's been, and he's missed some time through injury, he's not been that type of player.
He just needs to be, like, the finishing piece on the Rockets. Like, he needs to be the, like, star on top. Of like, all right, this is a good. I mean, obviously they might win 50 games this year, so they have good bones. This house has good bones. They just need to, you know, move some chairs around and go from, hey, you know how like 3 out of 5 nights we get our starting shooting guard goes 3 for 15 from the field.
I've heard he's more consistent. Let's go 2 out of 5 nights.
2 out of 5 nights.
Yes.
You're right. He has been more consistent this year. So 40% of the games he's. Absolutely
not
dreadful.
Good, yes.
What if instead we just got a top 15 player in there playing his position? And
that sounds great.
And you trade, you know, maybe one guy that's actually in the rotation, one young guy who's actually in the rotation, let's say Jabari or Tari, one of those two, and then one of the guys who isn't Reed or Cam Whitmore, just make that deal done. Get with that, and then all, or not all, but, you know, a good amount of the first round picks, all the Phoenix picks,
that
go back to Phoenix.
Back. Yeah, that's the dream from the Rockets' perspective. But when these things happen, particularly for a player of his standing in that city, and there's already you only traded Luka for that. Now Devin Booker has proven, at least when they play each other in games that matter, not to be Luka, but he has that type of standing in Phoenix.
Yeah,
you cannot. Like, Luka said it to, and it was a ridiculous trade as far as what they got back. You cannot leave a Devin Booker trade going, that's all they got?
Yeah.
So while what you're suggesting is what Rocket fans would be happy with, and
what would Phoenix fans want?
Phoenix would say,
Şengün and Jalen Green? And Amin Thompson?
They would say, you're giving us a negative asset in Jalen Green. They would sell it that way.
He's a shot chucker. Love those,
yes,
right?
Yes, he's a neutral. At best, he's a neutral asset, they would say.
People said Devin Booker was a chucker who couldn't win games before he
And you know what? He had like a three-year run where he wasn't. And now he's back to being a chucker who doesn't win games. If we're taking the harsh approach to what the last couple seasons have been. Phoenix is going to go, we're going to decimate you. And the Rockets have every right to go, no, you're not. We're not going to make that trade.
Yeah, or we could just keep all your draft picks and you guys are screwed forever.
Yes, that's the back and forth. I heard you guys are desperate to win a title. Don't you want a really good player to help you?
Yeah,
that'll be the back and forth of those negotiations.
You don't have the Suns do not have their own first-round pick until 2031.
And we're going to say, we're aware of that. We know we're in a bad spot. But
you're going to trade Kevin Durant. But you're
not.
Your team,
yes,
currently.
And we'll get assets. Better. We'll get assets for that, young players and picks. What you're not going to do is pull a Nico Harrison on us. You're not doing that to us. That's all. That's going to be the standard, at least.
Kevin Durant's going to choose where he wants to go.
That's fine.
You're only going to be trading with one team.
Understood.
So you're probably not going to get a haul from him.
Yeah, and we know he's 36 and not helping us win. We're okay dealing him away. We understand. We've made mistakes.
No, but you're okay dealing away. You're not going to get better.
We get it.
You're the 12th seed. You're not going to get better.
And they will say, you know what? We'd rather have Devin Booker than do a bad trade.
All right. Enjoy the playing with Devin Booker than having a future.
Enjoy Jalen Green's screwing around and making you miss playoffs.
We can just trade your picks to another. This is the NBA. Everyone's going to be unhappy at some point.
But Chris Mannix told us you really want Devin Booker. And no one else wants to trade their untouchable players for your guys.
He's the best guy available right now.
The issue for the Rockets is no matter who they trade a guy for, and if they want one of those dudes, it's going to hurt. It doesn't matter if it's Devin Booker. It doesn't matter whoever becomes available. If they decide we want to cash in some of these chips, the negotiations will go the same way unless they find a Nico Harrison somewhere else.
But what would hurt mean?
The Rockets?
Yeah. Like, you keep saying it's going to hurt, it's going to hurt.
It's going to
hurt.
You're trading Amen and either him or Shingun.
The guy that we said is untouchable except for other untouchables.
Yes, and you know what? There may be a team that has a player that you wouldn't deem untouchable if Sean Mapes was running the Rockets. And they're going to say, no, we don't care that you don't think he's untouchable. If you want him and it seems like you do, it's not only you guys can go out and go get a guy. A different player, we can go make a different trade. And that's what these things turn into, and that's why they take longer than they should, because it's always, no, we have the leverage. No, actually, we have the leverage. And then we'll actually find out who has the leverage when the trade is made.
I was going to say, the team with the unhappy star player doesn't have the leverage.
Unless you're the Blazers, and you go, we don't care what he wants. Not like they got a great haul.
Yeah, I was going to say, they got a crappy haul.
But they didn't.
Congrats, you got a crappy
but
haul.
They
win.
They will tell you they got better than the team he wanted to go to was offering. So, yes, we had to trade him, but we can always say no to the initial team and try to excavate more out of someone else. And that's what they tried to do.
You got the right to pay DeAndre Ayton the max. Congrats. You won the trade.
And the thing about that trade was,
instead of getting, like, decent young players.
DeAndre,
a guy who made the All-Star team.
DeAndre Ayton would have been part of that deal either way. It just would have how the math would have worked because they wanted Nurkic out of there. So he was part of that deal anyway. But that's just how trades will go. And if Devin Booker is on the cards or on the table for the Rockets, that's how this back and forth will go, where everyone thinks, sure, you want him, but are we going to get him at our price? We will see. We got a whole playoff run before that happens. So maybe Devin Booker and that potential acquisition becomes null and void because the Rockets are on some miraculous run, or they identify a different player who they might want to trade for. We got months before that becomes a reality. Okay, if it even does. Okay, we got one more segment to go before we wrap it up. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Stay up to date on the latest Houston sports news and follow us on socials at ESPN Houston.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Drink Shake, who's a giant Kevin Durant fan, said, the only thing that would hurt from his perspective would whether they're trading for Booker or KD would be Amen Thompson. I'm sure that's how plenty of people feel. They also, at least if you believe in the trajectory of Şengün, say that one will stink too. But these are the conversations that will be had if it ever comes about. Okay, we are almost done for the day. Paul Gallant is up next, and then the Killer Bees will follow him. So no real Texas news since the Chauncey Gardner-Johnson trade. If you missed it, we haven't talked about it in a little bit. He was traded for Kenyon Green. The Texans acquire a starting safety, a guy who is now a Super Bowl champion. He's already got his goodbye to Philly graphic up. He's had some kind words with Philly, which is funny because initially when he left, he trashed that city and those fans.
Actually, we do.
We have more Texans news.
Texans news. The Texans have signed left guard Lincoln
Tomlinson, the former 49er and Jet.
Yes.
So they have now secured a starting guard.
Yes. They've replaced he's a left guard. So they've replaced Kenyon Green on the day they traded him.
Yes, he was most recently with Seattle. He is 33 years old. It's a one-year deal, maximum of $5 million. So base value, 4.25. So it's not a giant salary. He is, at minimum, a competent guard. That salary doesn't suggest he's guaranteed to start. Not that the Texans have a lot of money, but that's not a regular deal for a starting guard. We will see how they view him, but as of now, when I look at what their roster is, feels like you can pencil them in as a starting guard. Don't exactly see a lot of competition there. We will see when we get more word about how they view them.
They just traded as competition, man.
Okay, sure. They also have, as I say, Juice Patterson still around. And is there more news?
This one's just a re-signing. So okay. It's, you know, a little bit. But they have re-signed defensive lineman Mario Edwards, 2 years, $9.5 million.
He's part of the not effing around crew. That is that, yes. Texans defense.
He's part of the personal foul squad.
Excuse me. Would you like a personal foul? Because yeah. I can give you one. We can get this out of the way now because we can expect you to do something that will cause me to throw this flag.
Houston Texans, unnecessary roughness.
They will say swarm.
# unnecessary roughness.
They don't want that as their official title going into 2025, their official tag.
Unnecessary toughness, because they're a tough team. Mm. But they also probably will get some 15-yard penalties.
There's no probably about it. They will get some 15-yard penalties.
Per game, at least.
But it's the way they want to play. And it was effective last year up until another defense could bully their offense in a divisional round, which is how it always ends. We'll see if things change. Got a long way to go to fix their issues. But they start with Lakin Tomlinson, the much-traveled guard now. Seattle, Jets, San Francisco. Now he's a Houston Texan. We're done for the day. As I mentioned, Paul Gallant up next, followed by the Killer Bees. Since we're done, what does that mean?
We did it!
We did do it. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.